Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can have your seat. Tell your neighbor that I am secured in him. Are you secured in the word of God, in Christ Jesus? Tell him you are secured. Be sure of it. Tell him, I am secured in you. Amen. So this morning we are looking at the security of the believer. The book of John, chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. And I want us to read along. I don't know which version they are going to be giving us, but I have the King James Version. Okay, they are giving us the King James Version. So I want us to read from 22 to 30. Verse 22 now. Let's go. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, and as I said unto you. 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. 30 now. I and my Father are one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in the mighty name of Jesus. The security of the believer. Can a Christian lose his or her salvation? And this subject is critically important for one simple reason. We all sin. Even when we are conscious that I don't want to commit any sin, we fall into sin. Okay? Because there are some sins that are planned. Sin of adultery, for example, is not spontaneously committed. You must have planned it. You know? Stealing, some felony that we do every day, you know, defrauding other people, but there are some sins, subtle sins that we fall into. Even after we have become Christian, we have given our life to Christ, and I said, oh, you adultery, fornication, I commit you no more. Yeah, it's possible. And then you put a vow to it, and God hears your prayer. But does that make you whole? Does that make you sound? No. For that same individual can still fall into the sin of anger, which is spontaneous. Somebody can say something, somebody can judge you, somebody can come to you with something you don't expect, and before you think of it, you are already speaking in anger. You can hear. The day I was reading it, and a man of God was explaining that even yelling is a sin. I was ashamed of myself. Yelling against our children. Yelling at our fellow brothers. When Jesus Christ said you should love, he said, if you love, you won't yell at anybody. Praise the Lord. So this topic is often described in different ways. We can say perseverance of the saints. We can say security of the believer. We can call it eternal security. But each phrase centers on these questions. What happens when believers sin? Can a person's sin or failures result in loss of salvation? And that's why we read that passage, John 10, 22, 30. You know, it's a New Testament passage on the security of the believer. Let's look at it one by one. In verse 28, there is the promise of eternal life. Jesus Christ says, and I gave them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my... Jesus makes the same promise two different ways. Believers will not perish, and no one can take eternal life from them. So this is an assurance. Now, the question will now be, who is a believer? Do we just confess Christ and say, I'm a believer, and then we are a believer? Or we have to believe him deep, deep, deep in our hearts. Have him as our only Father, as our only Savior. A believer is that person who has accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And you know there is no any other way. John 14:6, you know. Because when Jesus Christ was discussing this issue of going back to the Father, you know, this upper room discussion arose between him and the disciples. And I think it was Philip who said, show us the Father. And Jesus Christ said, you have seen me since all these days, and you are still asking, show us the Father. And I think Thomas eventually said, okay. If we have seen you, and we know you are the Father, show us the way. And Jesus was very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by... So many people. There was that singer, songwriter in Nigeria, Shola Rotimi, long time ago. Said some people want to see God. Some people thought it is by religion. So they pray 5 times a day. Muslims. Christian says, oh, go to church, pay your tithe, pay your offering, and you will see God. Is that how to see God? Some traditional rulers, some traditional believers believe that, oh, let's go through this God called Ogun. Bring a dog. Let's do sacrifice. And then you will see God. Okay? Some people say, no. That's not the way to see God. The way to see God is, you see that cow? Worship it. Worship it. That's Hinduism, I think. Cow is sacred. You don't eat it. In fact, it has become a problem in India now. We have some Hindus fanatics. If they see you eating beef, they are ready to kill you. All of them. Why? Because they want to see God. But thank God, God gave us, show us the way. He told us clearly. He didn't say, I am one of the ways. Say, I am what? The truth and the life. We want to thank God. I read something, I told the ministers this morning when we were praying. I read something over the internet. I don't know whether you got it. I think it was a WhatsApp message. No, it's not a WhatsApp message. It's a real internet message. On YouTube, about 259 people who were recently set free in Ibadan, in one Olore Central Mosque. They were not mad, though. Many of them, some are students. There was a year 3 accounting student of the University of Lagos among them. They were all taken and said, we are going to teach them Islamic studies. And then after we teach them, we will reform their life and they will become good members of society. 259 people, many of them were dead and they buried them. And the journalist was asking, how are we sure that all these people that were buried here were buried with their body parts intact? Those people, they never give them food. They never take their bath. They were held captive. All in the name of religion. Their parents willingly cajoled them into the place. Can you imagine that? Then I ask myself, if they have had the light, if they have known the way, if they have known the truth, will your people be there? No. God will forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus. So the doctrines of the believers Believer's security does not rest just on Christ's words in this one passage. I want you to know that all three members of the Godhead are involved in salvation. And Jesus' perfect one-time work to atone for all sins, Hebrews 10:10, clearly states that, is the basis for our assurance. Believers cannot save themselves. We cannot keep ourselves saved. Only the collaborative work of God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit can do this. And the word of the Father reinforces Christ's words and work. If you look at Romans 11:29, so the gifts of calling of Father are irrevocable. So once God called you, that calling is what? Is irrevocable. And the inheritance he gives us is incorrigible and does not fade away. 1 Peter 1:3-5. So God assures all believers that Jesus will confirm us to the end. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:7-9. If you get home, you can get all these passages and read. Jesus will confirm us all to us to the end, and that is able to present us faultless in the final day. Jude 24. For God's purpose to be thwarted by human weakness or by our sin will make God's words dependent on human action. So regarding the Spirit's confirmation, which is Ephesians 1:13, having believed, you were sealed with what? With the Spirit of promise. Paul says, the Spirit serves as a mark of permanence and security in our lives, a guarantee that the Christian destination, your destination and my destination, will never be interrupted. Say amen to that. Amen. Then, let's look at the protection of eternal life. We have tried to look at the promise of eternal life. So, that promise is there for anyone who has accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. It's quite different from when you are here and there. When you are neither here nor there. When you are neither cold nor warm. Or when you are still ruminating in your heart and say, Christ is not enough. And you begin to run around. The moment you have accepted Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, and you have accepted him, and you don't go back. You don't go back to come out to go and consult a man. To go and consult another God. He's assuring you eternal life. Praise the Lord. Number two is the protection that we have in Christ. Protection of eternal life. If you look at that, Jesus was in that passage that we read, John 10:28-29. It painted a picture of believers being held in his hand. And this is a tremendous image of security. When Jesus holds you in his hand, it means you are what? You are secured. Romans 8:35-39. That passage, those passages affirm the believer's security with a long list of things that cannot be separated, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Our security is not our ability to hold on to Christ's hand, but in his ability to hold on to us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is it tribulation? Is it distress? Is it persecution? Is it famine? Is it nakedness? Is it peril? Is it this world? Nothing can separate us, and nothing will separate us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. While some secrets have said that this doctrine is dangerous because it means that Christians can go out, live any way they want, even willingly sinning, without fear of the ramifications. No, it is not so. For anybody who has accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, will be conscious of the life that he or she lives. Anyone who treats the security of the believer as an insurance policy so that they can sin without consequences probably does not know the Lord to begin with. Hello? Do you agree with me? That individual does not. You will say, I am born again, therefore I can commit murder and go away with it. Is that person a Christian in the first instance? No way. Thank you. So that is simply not the heart of a born-again follower of Christ.
As Paul said, if we have died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? A Christian is dead to sin.
Reminded me of one of our ministers when I was in Nigeria. There was this Commercial Avenue, there was an hotel there, known as, I think it's Dominion Hotel, on Commercial Avenue in Yaba. So girls and prostitutes usually line the streets of that hotel at night. So this minister went there to pick his friend. And immediately he parked his car, this lady approached and said, I'm available, any amount. Even if you want it free, I'm ready to give it to you. The minister looked at her like this, a very beautiful girl. He said, you know what? You are talking to a dead man. You are talking, the lady said, what? You are talking to a dead man. Said the lady just stepped backwards and disappeared into the thing. And the minister said, indeed, he's dead. He's dead to all those things. But the way the lady interpreted this is that this man is from the grave. No, I don't want to go with him. Praise the Lord. So a Christian is dead to sin. And that's what the word of God is trying to let us know this afternoon. Yes, we are still in the morning. So if you look at James 2:26, in James' word, it said fake faith without works is what? It's dead. True faith results in transformed life. So those who have truly the forgiveness of their sins and who are in the habit of thanking God for his love will not lose their forgiveness and salvation as a license to sin. We will not look at it, just as we are talking at Sunday school this morning about liberty. We will not use our liberty in Christ to do what? To commit sin. We will not say, because Christ has died for me, therefore I'm going to commit that sin, therefore I'm going to defraud that, therefore I'm going to hate that sister, therefore I'm going to do this, therefore I'm going to offend that brother, knowingly or unknowingly. No, we don't do that. For we have what? A new heart. You know? A new soul that hates sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So those who have truly the forgiveness of their sins and who are not in the habit of thanking God for his love will not use their forgiveness and salvation as a license to sin. That's what I'm trying to say. True believers in Christ look for ways to please God every day. Every day. We don't look for loopholes by which to exploit the promised salvation. Remember? When I was a teenager in boarding house, rules and regulations are made every day. But I don't know why. Maybe it's this teenage spirit. We just look for ways of breaking those rules and regulations. We just look for ways of bringing loopholes out of that rules. So when we are now caught, we point out the loophole. And you see our teachers and our housemasters, they'll be looking at us. God will save you, this boy. And I will say, amen. But at least we have missed the cane. You know? Because we just bring out that loophole. A Christian does not do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A Christian tried as much as possible to follow the rules and regulations as provided by the Lord. So you see why a Christian cannot lose his security in God? You see why a Christian cannot lose his salvation? Praise the Lord. So we've looked at, number one, the promise of eternal life. It's a promise and it's there for us. Number two is the protection of eternal life. This cannot make us to lose our salvation as Christians. Number three is the proof of eternal life itself. Verse 27 said, if you read that verse 27, you discover that it gives us, this has given rise to some Puritan theologians, to the two marks of Christship, that's the mark of Christship, are we a sheep, and the mark of the heir.
My sheep hear my voice. That's what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they do what? They follow me. So, my sheep hear my voice. That is the, and the mark of the foot. They do what? We follow him. Just as cattle are branded together to identify their owner, so followers of Christ are branded by those two traits. A true Christian is one who listens to the words of Jesus and who do what? Who follows him. Who also do his word. We've heard so many messages about not just being hearers, but being what? Doers. Doers. God will make us to do his word in the mighty name of Jesus. So practically, that means when we read the word of God, the spirit of agreement and affirmation will well up in our hearts. We will embrace what we read. We won't resist it. Okay? We will affirm his truth and to look for ways to apply it in our lives. We want to follow him. And then we will. And when we fail, we want to repent and seek his forgiveness. Praise the Lord. That's what I said at the beginning. When we fall into sin, we fail. You know, what do? We realize that we have done the bad thing. We have committed a sin. And then we do what? We come back, we repent, we seek for his forgiveness. No true believer will be comfortable unless he or she is following Jesus. Do you agree with me? No true believer will be comfortable. When I newly gave my life to Christ, there are so many crises, you know, that follows. And there are so many opportunities presented to me. And I ask myself, are you a believer in Christ? Will you go the way this friend is asking you to go? Or will you go the way the word of God says it? The grace to follow the word of God all the days of our life, God will grant unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I think I've exceeded my time. I want us to rise up this morning. You know, you have already committed Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want us to reflect. Since I have committed my life as to you, what are those things that you have done that you know will have led you to hell? And I want us to confess those sins today. A true child of God finding himself committing a sin or falling in sin will not feel easy. You want to quickly come back. You want to listen. You want to hear his word. You want to read his word. And when you read his word, you listen to God. You know that many of us, daily basis, we don't even bother to read the word of God. There are so many Bible devotions there. The daily bread is there. The open heaven is there. The word today is there. The word for you is there. So many. How many of them do we make use of? Just to follow the Bible and to make sure that we read the word, we allow the word of God to well up in our hearts. A true believer cannot lose his salvation. Jesus said, Father has given them to me, and he will not take them away from me. He said, nobody in the world can take them away from me. If you are a true believer, if you believe in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you cannot lose your salvation. Whenever you fall into sin, you come back, you will realize that, look, I have done the abominable. And you will quickly plead the blood of Jesus and ask for forgiveness, never. And ask for that and resilience, never to go back. This morning, please, brethren, talk to God. Talk to God. Let me not lose my security, O Lord. Let me not lose my security, Father. In you. I am secured in you, Lord. I am secured in you, Father. I am secured in you. We need the word of God. In order not to lose our salvation,
We need the word of God. Father, let your word reside in me. Pray. Let your word dwell in me. Interpret the meaning of your word into my hearings, Lord. Into my heart. Interpret your word into my heart, Father. Let your word dwell in me. Talk to God this morning. That the word of God will not depart from you. At that critical moment, when you are about to commit a sin, at that critical moment when you find yourself falling into sin, Father, let your word redeem me.
And so shall it be in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, and in the name of God the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Shall we stretch forth our hands into our Father in the Lord, that he will not lose his security in the Amen. Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. That the promise of God will forever shown in his life, in his ministry, in the name of Jesus. That he will make heaven in the name of Jesus. That the word of God he has ministered today, on that glorious day, that Lord, it will not stand against him in the name of Jesus. That this is today will not be the last day that he will minister the word of God in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray for new anointing, for fresh anointing upon him in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray that the Lord will strengthen him in faith in Jesus' name. Let's begin to pray for him that he will remain standing in the promises of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray that he will not falter, he will not delay in Jesus' name. Let's begin to pray that the Lord will uphold him in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray that the Lord will be his shield, his buckler in the name of Jesus. That the security of God will forever be sure upon him, upon his ministry, upon his family, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And upon the church of God, in the mighty name of Amen. Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, Amen. We will all make it to heaven.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
Amen.
Amen.